Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
If this were my third Sunday at Old River, I would invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In the room there in the Capitol called HC5, which was actually underground. Above us was a park. The building is an amazing structure. In that room there, we had our worship service there this past Wednesday. And we took a tour that morning, Dana and I did, our Congressman Babin, who was in attendance at the worship service, by the way, and he and just one other congressman was there, but there were a number of staffers. We toured, and in what's called the rotunda, underneath the rotunda is the crypt for President Washington. And you can go in there where Washington was supposed to be, but he's not there. However, if you go up to Mount Vernon, which is where his family wanted him to be buried, you can find him there. If you go to Israel and you walk into this little garden area, and you look off to your right as you walk in, you'll see a hill that looks like a skull. And over to your left is an empty tomb where it's believed that Jesus was buried. And I've been there, and he's not there. And he's not buried anywhere else either. There in HC5 that evening, as the crowd began to gather, a little lady came in on a cane. I thought, now how precious. But you need to Google Ruth Mizell, M-I-Z-E-L-L, Ruth Mizell. And that little 93-year-old lady, sharp as a tack, I would love to have her come here and speak. And as we met her, and then Dana had an opportunity to visit with her more, and I gave her a coin, and one of our church coins, and then I got pulled away, and Dana got to visit with her. And she is the widow of Congressman Mizell, and you ought to Google him sometime. His first wife passed, and then he married Ruth. And Ruth's story is amazing. She has served under appointments of a number of different presidents, but when President Bush, Senior Bush, was vice president, she told him, "I don't need an appointment. What I want to do and you count on is me having a group that always prays for you." An amazing child of God, 93 years old, came to the worship service there in the Capitol. Now, you know, in a day in which we have so many things going contrary to the Word of God, in a day in which government is trying to force our Christ, our God, out of any area, anywhere in our society, and doing things and promoting things just contrary to the Word of God. And by the way, here at Old River, men go to the men's restrooms and ladies go to the ladies' restrooms. I want to share with you, I don't know that I've ever met anyone that I thought was more filled with the Spirit than Ruth Mizell. And I want to talk with you today about the Holy Spirit. And if this were my third Sunday in the pulpit, after having talked with you about prayer and the importance of being a prayer warrior, and oh, what prayer warriors you have been for that service and that mission this past week. And I pray that you will continue to pray for the mission of this church and for each other as you have prayed this past week. Oh, how we could sense. Keith, couldn't you just sense the presence? Cliff, couldn't you just sense the presence of the Lord, and couldn't you just feel the power of God because of all the prayers that were there? And I can't see everybody out there. We may have some more in here that were there this past week. We had 30-something people that went with us from here and from around here and from other states. There were TV producers, TV personalities. There were famous people in the room. There were wealthy people in the room. But there was no one in the room that you just sensed a presence with more than that 93-year-old lady. And if I were to preach to you, this was my third Sunday, I would, after talking with you about prayer and talking with you about loving God and loving one another, I would want us as a church to know the importance of the Holy Spirit in our walk with Christ and us becoming believers in Christ. There is no one who spoke more about the Holy Spirit than that gospel writer who was also a physician, and his name is Luke. And Luke is credited not only with the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, but he's also credited with writing the Acts of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right after Jesus had told them that it is not for you to know the times or seasons when the Father, which the Father has put under his own authority, then Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Everywhere you go and everywhere I send you, you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. Now, there is no one verse of Scripture that is going to teach us everything we need to know about the Holy Spirit. But this is certainly a great jumping off point into other Scriptures. Luke talked with us about how the Holy Spirit came and was with the parents of John the Baptist. And how John the Baptist, and don't ask me to explain everything, you know, you just got to make it to heaven. There's some questions that God's reserving to answer whenever you get there. But the Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And the Bible tells us in Luke that that an angel appeared to Mary and told her that the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you and you shall conceive, and it would be the Christ child. The Bible teaches us that that Jesus was led by the Spirit, and it was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Jesus told his disciples that in Luke that it is important that I go because there's someone that's being prepared for you. John, in John's account, John is more specific. Jesus said that it is imperative that I go to the Father that I may send you the Comforter. And so the Holy Spirit has so many responsibilities. But you and I have to have the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice these things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts. It is the Holy Spirit that comes, that came to me as a child and began to convict me that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in the book of John, that the Holy Spirit, in the words of Jesus, will be sent to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so the Holy Spirit comes and does that. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin. And doesn't create a vacuum there where I want to just pull all of this out of you, but rather convicts unto righteousness, because righteousness is the replacement for sin, the righteousness of God, and to convince us and to convict us of the judgment that is coming. The Bible teaches us that judgment is going to come one day, that all of us are going to stand before God and have to give an account of what is in us and have to give an account of everything that we have done. And in that list, you best be sure that one of the things that you have done is that you have repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, friends, before the ship leaves the harbor, you need to be sure that the captain is on board. Amen? Is the captain on board in your life? The Holy Spirit convicts. Now, here's why we need the Holy Spirit to convict. You know, sometimes we have said, well, I just really felt convicted about this, or I felt convicted about that. And if you and I try to convict ourselves, we will never convict ourselves in a convincing fashion that will be lasting. You and I do not have enough conviction ability of our own, enough conviction to overcome our addiction to sin. We just do not have it. One of the great differences between the AA meetings that some have, and we have one here, and the Celebrate Recovery ministry that we have, is that in AA, they just say you need to believe in a higher power. Well, for some, their higher power, I don't know what you do with your microphone, Brother Joe, but anyway, like this microphone stand. This microphone stand could be your higher power if that's what you want. But in Celebrate Recovery, Jesus. And whenever we experience the Holy Spirit brings about the kind of conviction that is lasting. Now, I can be convicted about something, and I can convict myself, Danny, you really shouldn't do that. And you know what happens? I won't do it for a while. For a while. But when the Holy Spirit comes to convict, and when he came to me, and as an 11-year-old boy, I was convicted that I am, and I was, and that I am a sinner who needed a Savior. But I want to share with you something else. It's just like Adrian Rogers. I read that the late, great Adrian Rogers say that he has confessed, he has been convicted of the Holy Spirit more and confessed more sins since he got saved than he did when he saved. He said, There is so much more I have learned about Jesus since I have been saved through the witness and the power of the Holy Spirit than I knew before I got saved. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit in this world is to bring about conviction. And one of these days, the Holy Spirit is going to be taken from this world. And sin and Satan are going to have a field day like you don't want to see. You think it's bad now. Let the Holy Spirit be taken from this world. You do not want to be around for that. You do not want to miss the rapture of the saints and the rapture of the church out of this world. You want to be a part of that, not left behind. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of our sin and convicts us and convinces us of the righteousness that we need through Christ and Him only. And by the way, you and I do not know enough about righteousness to become righteous. Now, you and I can become kind of goody-two-shoes. You and I can can become good people. Jesus didn't come to help bad people become good, nor good people to become better. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And then to convince us that Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a judgment. And the Bible teaches us that whenever we get saved, I want you to listen to a verse of Scripture, please. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It did not say a gift from the Holy Spirit. It said you shall receive the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you, friends, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved, because you do not have the covering that is necessary for us to experience salvation. You do not have the covering that will answer for our sins whenever we stand before God. The Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us, seals us unto the day of redemption. The work of the Holy Spirit is to cover us and engulf us. And the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And it goes on the last part of that verse that if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not one of His. So if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you've never been saved. You've never been saved. And you're thinking, "Brother Danny, I've never spoken in tongues." Some of you have been taught that if you don't speak in tongues, that you've never received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible does not teach that. And that's a lesson all in itself. And if you want to talk about that sometime, see Ernie Hanks. He can explain it as good as anybody. Seriously, as anybody I've ever known. But I'll be glad to talk with you if Ernie's not available. But the Bible teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a gift, like salvation is a gift. The Bible teaches us that baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is whenever He becomes president. Residence, president. That's what happened. He is a resident in your life, and He is president in your life. How many of you, everyone in here, has seen signs go up on storefronts, a sign that says these words, "Under new management"? You've seen that? Raise your hand if you've seen those kind of signs before. You know what the Bible teaches us needs to take place, and is to take place in a person's life whenever we have been changed? The Bible says if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the people who know you, whenever you, before you knew Christ, and the people who know you after you have known Christ should say, man, that guy ought to wear a sign, that lady ought to wear a sign, that young man, that young lady ought to have a sign around their neck that says, under new management, because they are a different person. It is like being around a different individual. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you are under new management. He is the resident and he is the president of your life. Now, sometimes we just want to reject him being in charge of our lives. And the Bible teaches us that you can quench the Spirit of God. And I want to share something with you that I can't explain. I'm just going to report it to you and you take it up with the Bible, okay? The Bible talks about a sin unto death. And how many of us are involved in sin that the Holy Spirit has convicted us of, and we're not trying to battle that sin? We just think, well, you know, God, this is just the way I am. And the Bible teaches us that you can have an early retirement, not the one you're looking for. That God can just take you out of this world. And don't ask me, well, Brother Dan, you think that's why people die? I think that's why people can. I think that's why some people can be taken out. That's not why, I'm not saying that's why people who leave this world and we wonder, Lord, why did you take them out? Adrian Rogers, Brother Ronnie and I got to hear him preach in Florida when we were there at a conference. And you know, Brother Ronnie, I still remember that 70-something-year-old man, after he followed all those great preachers, it was like, now, what was the name of somebody else that preached? And yet, he got cancer, and he died. And I think, why did God take him out? I want to share something with you. That man who was chaplain to the Senate by the name of Peter Marshall back in the 1950s, and Peter Marshall said these words, whenever my time comes, I do not want to be 1 minute early nor 1 minute late, for life is not measured by its duration, but its donation. I want to share something with you. God will take up residence in your life at your invitation, at the wooing of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts, and God will come and we can say, Lord, make my heart the throne of your life and of my life. But God does not live in a duplex. He will not set up his throne in a duplex. You know what a duplex is? That's one house where you have two families living in it. You have two different houses under one roof. And I want to share with you, God is not interested in that. God is interested in it being a one-room house where the throne fills the room and his presence fills the room. The Bible teaches us that the work of the Holy Spirit is conviction and covering. And I want you to look at this next one, cultivation. Now, those of you that didn't grow up on the farm, maybe you have had a garden before. And one of the things that you have to do, even if you grow a garden in just a pot, you have to stir up, you have to cultivate that ground. One of the things we did whenever my dad bought his old home place is we had to clear it, and then we had to take an old deep turning plow, and we pulled that plow through the ground, and we broke up that ground and turned up those roots and turned up the rocks that were in there. We picked up rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks, and until we finally was able to be able to plant something and run a disc through that ground and smooth it out. And then we began to plant it, and it was one of the prettiest hay fields in the country. By the way, you can't take that for granted. Whenever I was home last weekend on a trail ride for my hometown, 45-year-old trail ride, we rode by my old home place, which we had sold to my cousin. Broke my heart. Because it hadn't been cared for, it had been taken for granted. Fences down, place grown up. As God looks upon the heart of this old preacher, as God looks across this congregation this morning and looks on the hearts of people where he cultivated the ground and planted a seed of the gospel, and at some point the fruit of the Spirit was rising up out of your life, what does he see now? Does he see it covered in weeds? Does he see the fences down where the enemy can get in? What does he see? The work of the Holy Spirit is to cultivate the lordship of Christ in our lives. The Holy Spirit cultivates, turns the things over in our life, gets the old crusty top off the ground, and brings that freshness up on top, and begins to cultivate great life there. And take us from idolatry to victory. Do you know what the difference is? Idolatry, when anything comes between you and Christ, it is idolatry. But whenever Christ comes between us and anything else in the world, that's victory. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit is interested in raising a heavenly crop. You need to study Galatians sometimes and study where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, we have people that get so caught up in the gifts of the Spirit, and we get people who get so caught up in thinking that I've had people come here and say, y'all just not expressive enough in worship. Well, sometimes whenever I know that person, and I realize I'm not going to die a natural death, okay? But I tell people, what is it you're looking for? Oh, I want to be able to stand up, and I want to be able to shout, and I want to be able to raise my hands. I said, well, you can do that if you want to. Oh, but everybody else doesn't do that there. I said, there are some that do. If they feel led, I said, there's some that feel led to bow their head and shed a tear. I said, but here's the thing that I'm curious about in your life. You go where you can jump and shout and all that, huh? Yes, I do. I said, I don't see any difference in your life, though, when you come out. I said, I know you well enough, and I don't see any changes taking place. You're just looking for some experience, but God is not interested in giving us the Holy Spirit so that we can brag about some gift we think we have and something that we can say in secret that we don't even understand what it is. But you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not know Jesus. You are not saved, and you need to be saved today. Well, the Bible says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And the Holy Spirit is part of that deal. It's part of that deal. And the Holy Spirit brings joy. And I want to share something with you about this cultivating work of the Holy Spirit. Joy is essential to leading people to Christ. If you don't have joy, in spite of what is going on in your life, if you don't have joy, who wants what you have? They've got things just as good as you. I want to share with you. Some folks run around like they are advanced agents for the Undertaker. Who wants what they have? Some people are just so sour to be around. Who wants what they've got? Is that what Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit for? He gave us the Holy Spirit, and joy is not so that we can not have any problems. But joy in Jesus is so that we're not looking for an end to come to those things. We're looking for the joy that's going to come in the morning one day. And that's where my joy comes from. My hope is in what Jesus is going to do one day. I wrote these things down. I thought I had them memorized, but let me just read them to you. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Well, I'm just going to give you my opinion, okay? But the people that I have seen that I would say they are filled with the Spirit and they have something that I want are people that when it comes to the sanctuary, they bow down. If there is a worship time, they're going to be there. They love to go to the house of the Lord. It's not somebody that, listen, it's not how high you jump while you're in here. It's how straight you walk when you go out. When it comes to the sanctuary, they bow down. When it comes to the scriptures, they dig in. When it comes to suffering, they lean on Him. When it comes to supplication, they go up. When it comes to service, they show up. When it comes to sacrificing, they shell out. And when it comes to sin and Satan, they sound off. They sound off against it. And their lives are a testimony to it. The Bible teaches us something else happened when the Holy Spirit came, and that was courage. You will read in the book of Acts, as Luke reports it, that the people had boldness to witness for Christ. Boldness to witness for Christ. And if you just can't seem to open your mouth, And you're scared of what would come out, well, just get some of our coins. Here's one. Take that one. There it is. I couldn't get that to do that again. But I try. Let me see. Just hand that coin to someone. I handed it to the guy at the hotel. He's not from Texas. I don't think he's from America. We had a little trouble communicating, but he could read. And I handed him that coin. And he just stood there. You know, I hand it to him, let him see the front side. But, you know, people have to turn it over. They just have to turn it over. And when they turn it over there, is a scripture that says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's that prayer. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived was the name of D.L. Moody. And he was working in his uncle's shoe shop when his Sunday school teacher, he looked out and saw his Sunday school teacher pacing back and forth outside the shop. Finally, he came in and he went into him and he said, I'm concerned for you. And he left out. D.L. Moody went down into the basement and trusted the Lord as his Savior and shook two continents with the Word of God. This past week, you prayed for us as we went to Washington and gathered in that room there under the Capitol. And we were there to say, we're concerned for you. We're concerned for our nation, and only God knows what kind of seed that's been planted. The Bible teaches us that God will give you courage through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to share something with you. The devil has more power than you and I have, but we have more authority. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll share with you the difference. When I was 17 years old, I've enjoyed lifting weights all my life. I could take a barbell, not a dumbbell, a barbell with 100 pounds on it, pick it up with one hand, get it up to my shoulder, and put it over my head 10 times. And I thought I was bad. And my little 5'8 daddy, one day we were out in the hayfield, and I knew I was stronger than my daddy. Now, daddy was fit. He was out of shape, but he was, you know, he He just had authority. You understand? Let me just say something to the young boys in this room. An old man will hurt you. Just remember that. He may not be as strong as you are. Anyway, I knew I was stronger than my daddy. And I kept just kind of, he said, boy, boy. And I slipped up behind my daddy like a chicken. But anyway, I sneaked up behind daddy and I put him in a headlock with this arm that I could put 100 pounds over my head 10 times. And faster than I can tell you this story, I was flat on my back with my daddy having me pinned down and I couldn't move and his fist was right here and he was just grinning. I just looked up and I said, how did you do that? The devil has more power than you, but you have more authority, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And don't you forget it. Whenever he comes at you, you just turn and listen. Don't get in a conversation with the devil. Don't do it. The only one I know of that got in a conversation with the devil and won was Jesus. So when the devil confronts you, turn and say, Jesus. Just tell Jesus on him. You know, don't stand there looking the devil in the face and say, Jesus, I bind you like you're something. I want to tell you something. He can put you on the ground whenever you think you're going to do that. But we go to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, we ask that you would bind Satan. You stay in a conversation with Jesus and you won't be sorry. And then the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit's work is to make Jesus famous in your life, because he wants to prepare you for the coronation of the coming king. The coronation of the king. He wants to prepare you and me for that time whenever Jesus comes back. The work of the Holy Spirit, friends, I want to share it with you as you stand. The work of the Holy Spirit, these things. Number one, is to get you and me to look to Jesus. Number two, to get us to look like Jesus so that others can see Jesus in us. And number three, to look for Jesus. To look for the coming of the King. In other words, for us to realize, need Jesus, be Jesus, and then see Jesus. With every head bowed and every heart lifted to God.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.